What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
With 7:15 to play. Irving on the step back. Hits another one. Kyrie Irving, 36 points.
Kyrie was an absolute beast last night. Now we have Kyrie conspiracy theories that are floating around. 877-881-1053. We also have a star wide receiver putting some Cowboys tea leaves out there, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll play you that sound coming up here in just a moment. Great to have you in, Sean and RJ. On a Thirsty Thursday, we got Bobby and Peyton, Carter Freeman running the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. I'm Eric Chia, follow with the G-Bag Nation. Choppy's got his pop's funeral today, so he is out, and Sean, I believe, is sitting in some sand somewhere enjoying himself. Nice little post-Super Bowl vacation. So great to have you in this morning.
I have been tasked with recording Choppy's eulogy today.
Oh, that's, man.
Because
there's a part of me that wants to just show up in my Crocs and soak that in.
He wants me to record because he says he's going to roast him.
Oh, I know. He's been very adamant. Like that's his only skill that he has in a situation like this.
So I'm supposed to just record on my phone for crowd reaction to his roasting, to see if it's groans,
the oohing and the eyeing,
or if it's like, like if they like think it's in good fun.
Are you hoping that they fall flat and it's just crickets?
I'm kind of thinking about just editing it to make it sound like no one reacts to any of his jokes, just because I think that'd be better. But no, I'll really play it back. But he was running over some of his jokes with us at dinner in New Orleans, and it's like, all right, I don't know how that's gonna play with that whole crowd, but you do you, Chop.
I like the tanning ashes joke that he was.
That's good.
That he was teasing.
He said the only Italian who couldn't get a tan, even his ashes are white.
All right, do we have any odds on whether or not he's going to shed tears at the microphone, or is he gonna...
I think he probably will. I think he'll be.
That's
probably
pretty standard.
Yeah, and Chop is generally an emotionless, cold individual.
Right.
But, you know, when things come up with his dad, he'd get a little emotional.
Okay, well, Mavs fans, of course, are a bit emotional right now. They have a great win last night, very shorthanded, and they find a way to beat the Warriors, who had been rocking and rolling really since the Jimmy Butler trade, and Steph Curry had been playing it out of his mind. But Kyrie Irving was the monster last night. Here he was with SVP SportsCenter after the game.
Well, it's a very strong bond. You know, a lot of us are engaged in the community off the court. You know, we have family members, friends here. We have partners here business-wise. And then you add on to us being part of Dallas Mavericks as a global group, our organization. So I'm just grateful to be one of the leaders on the team, be able to stand in front of some uncomfortable moments that go on and, just deal with them and let everybody know that, you just got to give each other some grace. You know, when fandom arises or fanaticism or, people are cheering on for their home team or people that they love and then they change teams, you got to give them grace. So that's all I was trying to echo on, the podium the other night, was just understanding that kids, whether it be adults, they're inspired by the game of basketball. You know, they love this as a spiritual sport. So, you just got to take it one day at a time, be patient, and, we're just going to put our best foot forward for not only Dallas, but for the rest of the world that's watching and supporting us. So I appreciate MFFL. You guys are keeping me going. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Wrapping his arms around the Metroplex and the fan base saying, I understand where you're at emotionally right now, and I'm going to try and take some of that pain away for you. And then he proved it on the court.
Yeah, for now. For now, which we'll get into here in a second. But he was fantastic last night, and he's been so good as just a stabilizing factor, which is nuts. Like, if I would have told you 3 years ago, like, Kyrie Irving's going to be the person that emotionally holds down the Metroplex during their time of need. No way. No chance.
That's why all of this is frustrating when you link it back to Luka, of like the idea that just people just can't change.
Oh,
Luka,
yeah.
At 25 years old and a where fresh, he's at professionally.
Brand new dad.
And,
are you the same person you were 5 years ago?
Oh, my gosh, no. Absolutely not.
And that's the thing. Like,
not even close.
Because you're 31?
Yeah, I'm 31.
31, okay. So, like, you're talking about you're 5 years older than Luka. Imagine who you were at 26. Like, you're not...
I prefer not to.
You're not the same person. And that's the thing, is that it's just... It's... In fact, you guys, you and Luka have, like, a similar trajectory in the sense of...
Our athleticism and our dominance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You guys had your first kid around the same age. And, like, when you just think of how fatherhood and being married and life and growing has impacted you, it would have been ridiculous for anybody to say when you were 25, 26 years old, like, well, that's just who Eric's going to be his whole life. And not that you were, like, an awful person. You were a great dude. I loved you at 25, 26. But it's still something that,
yes.
I think people go, that's a little ridiculous just to assume that's who he's going to be.
Right. And Kyrie's the perfect example of that right now. On your team. Right in front of your eyes.
Took him till he was 30, basically. To go like, all right, let's stabilize a little bit here.
Yeah, totally. So what's the deal with these conspiracies? Why are you trying? I mean, today's the day of Kyrie happiness, man. Mavs get the win last night. He goes 40-plus, no assists. He's just in his bag of buckets saying, I'm going to out-Steph Steph. So what's your deal?
This is not me, okay? This is not my conspiracy theory. This is the internet's conspiracy theory. They were ablaze with this. I asked you about it yesterday if you'd heard about it. You had not heard about it yet. I asked Peyton. Peyton did. Peyton was aware that this had happened.
Well, he's a conspiracy guy.
So if you head over to Kyrie Irving's Twitter, at Kyrie Irving, and I still call it Twitter, not X, because it's always Twitter.
Yeah, but you're calling it Gulf of America now.
Did you see the Lindsey Fulton on Twitter, who's a big Mavericks fan? Lindsay had edited the Gulf of America thing, and she's like, whoa, look what Google Maps did, and it said Gulf of Trade Nico, or Fire Nico Harris.
I like that.
Which is good.
I'll swim in those waters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I want to take a full dip. But if you go look at Kyrie Irving's Twitter, he's made some changes. He changed his background image. Just, it's a series of words. It looks like a Kanye West cover album. Just words after words after words. Where it says, I stand on the side of liberating all oppressed people. I stand on the side of liberating all oppressed people. Just like this, like, run of words down there is his Twitter background. And then his Twitter profile picture, he's like a ninja or something. He's got like the headband on and the katana swords. So the problem is the color scheme. It's yellow and purple. The background image is purple. The profile picture is yellow, Eric. Mm. The internet is ablaze saying that this is a sign to Mavs management. Just like Dirk made a sign when he tweeted what he did. This is a sign to Mavs management that he plans on jumping to the Lakers. Now,
wow, because he's got the player option.
Yes, as all good conspiracy theories, this began on Reddit, basically. And when you read some of the comments on this Reddit post, they're hilarious. Kyrie has the golden opportunity to be the biggest diva wreck a franchise, but this time be praised for doing so. Lakers becoming a refugee camp for those fleeing Nico Harrison's reign of terror. Imagine how incompetent you have to be to get fleeced by the Lakers and they come out the clear good guys. The I stand on the side of liberating all oppressed people is a message to Mavs fans. Nico's the greatest lone wolf terrorist in NBA history. Just on and on and on. And this is what people are now thinking. And this is another angle of this that came up in that discussion. How many people were saying, poor Klay Thompson. Like, Klay Thompson signed up for something that is going to look radically different by the end of this year.
Yeah, I do find it interesting, though, with the way that Klay has spoken. Like, he hasn't shown anything in the way of frustration about Luka leaving. Like he's been
because
all
he's
business, and maybe
yeah.
that's part of it. But it didn't feel like he was leaving much room for like, oh my gosh, this sucks, and I feel like I've been bamboozled signing here, and now the reason why I signed here being Luka is not here. I do wonder if things, because Klay's only been here for this final stretch of Luka, which apparently was sort of the final straw for Nico and the front office. And so I wonder if the version of Luka that Klay Thompson is familiar with and
yeah.
didn't get to play that much with him because of how Luka had missed so much time this year.
20 games or something together.
It doesn't come across like Klay Thompson has any care in the world. And he's older and he understands the business of the sport. So maybe he just has a different perspective that way.
I just felt like he was brought in here under a certain understanding of what this roster would look like. And then the core of it was gutted. 20 after like 40 games.
But I also don't think that Klay Thompson much cares like the Mavs, like us Mavs fans, we're thinking about the next decade. Klay Thompson's thinking about the next 2 years or whatever.
But he did sign up for the next 2 years with Luka.
He did.
That's what he wanted.
But who was the other team that he was considering? The Lakers. He probably has a ton of respect for Anthony Davis.
Probably wishing he chose the Lakers.
It just feels like Klay Thompson has been the least bothered by all of this Luka stuff.
972, I don't like reading into any conspiracies, but I'm 1,000% agreeing with these owners want to move the team now. First, destroying the fan base. Second, they will ask for an arena upgrade. Last, move the team because the fans no longer care. And Mike's been on this kick. Mike Bassick, rest in peace. He's been on this kick for...
You got like another, nine shows? Well, yeah. The countdown is
nine
on.
Nine shows. Yeah, we got the... We're just pulling the days off the calendar until we're singing Garth Brooks' The Dance to him.
Mike the TV man.
Is that when you look at this, what is the... Are you buying into... There have been so many different conspiracy theories. Oh, this was a play for Nico Harrison because he plans on quitting and becoming the GM of the Lakers. Oh, this is a play to move them out of town. Kyrie's... Is there a wild conspiracy theory on this that you're buying into with the Luka trip? Because it is so absurd, the decision on the surface, that people just feel like they're going like, there's got to be something else behind this.
When it comes to relocating?
Just in general, with the Luka trade, does the Luka trade spur any conspiracy theories that you're buying into? Whether it's this is an attempt to move the team, this is Nico trying to get a job somewhere else, this is... You know, some issue with Luka that we're not aware of, or like the, oh, Kyrie is now hinting that he's leaving. This is a sign Dirk going to do what he did. That's a conspiracy that Dirk is no longer happy with the Mavericks. Is there anything that throughout this process you've looked at and said, like, all right, that's a conspiracy theory about this trade that I'm buying into?
Not the relocation stuff. I'm still not convinced of that. But I do think that it was personal when it comes to Nico and Luka and just not having any sort of respect for the way he goes about his business. And I think the weirdest part is just the relationship factor between Nico and Pelinka and Anthony Davis and just that whole thing. It just feels like, man, Nico doing a solid for his buddy to some extent and not getting near as much as he should have. And the Dirk thing, I think Dirk is like the rest of us, just shocked and appalled and frustrated by all of it. And Dirk should be even more offended when the Dumont statement comes out and he's listing all these great players from NBA yesteryears and their hard work and discipline and their ability to be a champion.
And you don't even mention Dirk. Shaq in there.
But this Kyrie stuff, the way he's talking with SVP last night after the game, like he's clearly in the moment right now, embracing everything that he has to do, understanding the responsibility of right now, I'm under contract, I'm wearing a Mavericks uniform, I'm trying to make the most of this. But when we wake up come summertime and he has Los Angeles Laker opportunities, now that he's got the player option, I mean, I think there's a real chance he could just say, thanks, but no thanks. We're done here.
Luka just goes, join me in L.A., hermano. Like, oh, my gosh. Did you see the Instagram post? We talked about this yesterday. The congratulations, mi hermano, with him getting named to the All-Star team. Yes. Just gutting Mavs fans. Real quick, Adam Silver clarified. We talked about how bad this trade was, that we're like, Adam Silver's got to step in. It's got to be like the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers. Like, you got to step in and stop it. Adam Silver clarified, apparently, that he can't do that. So this is from SI. After the Mavericks traded Luka to the Lakers at last week's NBA trade deadline, there was an overwhelming thought from fans that Silver should have stepped in and vetoed the deal. The consensus was that if Dallas truly put Doncic on the trade block, they would have received more in return. In an interview with Barstool Sports this week, Silver clarified that the commissioner actually does not have the power to veto a trade. He says, no, believe it or not. And there's some confusion. People have yelled out to me for some reason in the last week or so. I've been at games that I should be vetoing the trade the way David Stern vetoed a trade back in the old days. There's always some confusion there. David never vetoed a trade when he was the acting owner of the Hornets and the commissioner at the time. He turned down a trade that was proposed to him by the general manager of the team. So the Hornets tried to execute a trade, and Stern owned the team at the time, technically, because they were in a transition period, and he said, no, we're not doing that because I have the power right now as basically the owner of the Hornets to tell you no.
Yeah, Adam Silver doesn't have the same type of desire to get in the weeds on some of this stuff like a David Stern used to.
And can't, apparently.
And I think he's completely comfortable with that. I don't think he wanted the responsibility of having to nuke a trade the same way that David Stern did.
Yeah, he just wanted to nuke a city and a franchise with the Mavericks.
Well, he just was okay with it happening. It's better for business, for the Adam Silver NBA business, having Luka in Los Angeles. I do think it's probably better for that. So... the frustration continues. Now Kyrie putting Laker colors in his Twitter account. The conversation
it's
just
done.
Are you locking it up?
Kyrie to the Lakers for the MLE. It's mid-level exception time.
And then it's KD 80 era in Dallas. And we'll get to watch them play probably a good 25 games together next year.
They'll probably trade 80 for, they'll trade 80 back to the Lakers for Rui Hachimura, and that'll be the future of the Mavericks.
All right, the Rangers report to surprise the best two letters in sports and a star receiver flirting with the boys next year on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacob deGrom says this is the Christmas morning feeling. That's how he was feeling yesterday, being in Surprise, Arizona for P's and C's, reporting baseball season around the corner. G-Bag Nation, KNC Masterpiece, baseball show of record. We'll be planting the flag in Surprise here in just over a week.
Are they about to lose that title as the baseball show of record?
Because of...
If they're losing Mike, isn't that up for grabs? Isn't the title up for grabs now? It could be y'all.
It could be the G-Bag Nation. People forget the B in G-Bag Nation stands for baseball, guys.
Yeah, it really? Exactly.
It really does.
You guys lead into Rangers.
Yeah, we do.
So you always did your crosstalks. Zach was the backup for Jared for a long time. I think
pre and post.
I think there's an argument. Broadus, he's got his gang of two in baseball or whatever it
yes,
is.
Yes, he does,
dude. I think y'all are the new baseball show of record on the station.
Perhaps we are. And
do y'all watch the games, though?
We would definitely.
Y'all watch the games, right?
We not only do we watch, but I like to sync things up. I like hearing Eric Nadell and Matt Hicks paint that picture.
Screw you, Jared. Goodbye.
while we're watching, that's my favorite way to soak in a Rangers Tuesday night.
That's a brilliant way to do it. That picture yesterday, by the way, did you see it? The one of the Rangers tweeting the DeGrom and Evaldi picture. It said pocket aces.
I don't think I saw that.
Oh.
I did see them just standing closely behind Jack Leiter.
Okay, so that's...
And that made me feel good. Just their presence around Jack. I'm like, is there some osmosis that could factor in here? I know Jerry would buy into
that. Look at this. This one was the one that everybody on Rangers Twitter yesterday was just in love with, was this photo right here. Look at them just looking adoringly at each other. And it says pocket aces.
Two guys ready to go combined for 20 starts this year.
And you know what? It's funny. A lot of the replies still had to do with Luka. It's like, it's nice. It's nice to see an organization that actually shows love to their stars. It's just everything right now is getting tied back to that.
It all goes back to Luka.
He's starting to. So when do you guys get out to Surprise?
We leave next Sunday.
Okay, so while you're out there, one of the things you're going to need to investigate, I think DeGrom's letting the flow come back.
Oh, okay.
Look, am I wrong here? Like, this is definitely longer than it has been.
It's starting to shag out of the back of the hat
a little bit. I think he might be going back to the
back to the Thor
locks.
I'm here for it, dude. Whatever we can do to get him back to his... Not even just dominant stuff, because he has been dominant. It's just the health factor.
Yeah.
And my goodness, if you could get 25 starts out of him, how amazing that would be. I couldn't believe, looking back, like, it's crazy, 12 games he started. Now, that was the shortened season with COVID. Yeah. But 12 games started, 21, 15 games started for DeGrom, 22, 11 games started, 23, 6 games, and 24, 3 games. So that's where we're at right now when you look at the past 5 seasons worth of baseball, with one of those being cut short, of course, with the COVID. I get that, but this is not a dude that's been really anywhere close to even 20 starts. So you're crossing your fingers on that in a huge way. But when P's and C's report, man, it really sends a shockwave of excitement through sports fans. And we always talk about, Bobby, the best two words in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, what is it, Peyton? I say best two words in sports, you say what?
Game 7.
Game 7.
Yep. Or some people will always go opening day. There are some people who
play
opening day.
Play ball's a good one.
Play ball's that's a really good one. I like this.
Fire Nico's another good one.
that's the winner. That is the new winner.
It's the one seed.
Yeah.
It's a bit knee-jerk, but I'm willing to put it number one. But P's and C's, I will argue right now, the best two letters in sports, P's and C's.
That's pretty good. Baseball's,
I don't think you can beat that. The brain has been spinning.
P's and C's.
Give me two better letters in sports than P's and C's. Because here's the thing about P's and
X
C's.
And O's. Football. Hey, that's good.
When you
that's,
turn it.
When you,
wow, Peyton, this is your game, bro.
I'm
you are dialed.
I'm not checking out yet, guys.
When you
not yet.
When you turn a double play in baseball, that's not bad. You turn a DP.
Yeah, but we don't. We don't do the DP thing.
I do. I like. Well, I mean, I don't. But you know what I'm saying.
I've never heard Nadell paint the DP picture for me as I'm soaking in some Rangers baseball.
Could you imagine him Rangers
fans? You're not
that?
Dreaming. That was a DP in the infield. We've made history. That's a Jimmy Jack.
The way those two had worked together on that DP.
A lot of people texting in TD. People love TDs, and I get that. But here's the thing:
you have a whole segment for it.
TD Tuesday. It's special. I mean, this is not an indictment on the TD. I just think that P's and C's really just ignite an excitement for everyone. There's hope in the air. Not every TD is the same. One TD may not mean as much as another TD. So when you're talking about, I mean, in a game, maybe it's garbage time TD. Who cares about a garbage time TD? Now, maybe for fantasy purposes or for gambling purposes, but a blowout TD, who cares? What? P's and C's is the same for everyone. It's here. It's time. There's hope. Let's go. We're back.
What about OT? That's getting suggested on the fan text.
OT ain't... Oh, okay. Is OT that awesome? What if you were the team that was... You were up by 10 in the fourth quarter, and now all of a sudden you are finding yourself in overtime in a game that you weren't even supposed to be in. You should have put them away. Should have put the kids to bed.
817 says W's and L's. Yeah, wins and losses.
That's good. We talk about it as a whole column.
No one wants the L, though.
No.
It's just the dub.
But
if we're talking about the best letter in sports, yeah, the dub. Sure, I'll give it to you. The dub is fantastic.
But you can't have the thrill of the dub without the agony of the L.
And that's what I love about P's and C's is there is no agony involved. So, I mean, I just think that I think P's and C's are the best two letters in sports. The X's and O's one, though, I like what you're doing with that one there.
Ooh, KO.
KO is strong.
Man, this is good. Oh, 214 doesn't like it. They say, what about NO to this segment?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of this might be the worst segment in the history of radio being done.
Forget it, 214. It's getting plenty of people are coming in with their thoughts here.
I am impressed with you guys because I mean, other than TDs, I was struggling to find something that was better, but the X's and O's is strong. OT, I'll give. Wins and losses, fine.
DP.
But it's P's and C's season, and the Rangers are ready to go take back the crown. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what this offense ends up looking like, because as long as you have the health and the pitching, the offense getting back to being dominant, I mean, is it the Jock Peterson stuff that has you going? Are you a burger guy? Hashioka?
I mean, I am just excited to see. Like, there was a Mike had talked about this yesterday. I think MLB.com had a top 12 most intriguing pitchers to watch during spring training, and two of them were Rangers, and it's Kamar Rocker and Jacob DeGrom. Just seeing
those are the most excited you are, like, of all the P's.
P's that I'm excited about.
Rocker would be number one for
Rocker
me.
And DeGrom.
I think DeGrom is going to be exactly, I mean, the...
I'm intrigued by DeGrom because some of the stuff, he was getting hit hard when he came back last year. Like, he did get
you
hit.
You felt like a little bit of a slippage?
I don't know if it was he was working his way back still, or if there was just some sort of... But, I mean, the exit velocity, he was getting hit harder in those games at the end of the season than he got hit at all in 23 before he got hurt.
Well, it's really, for me, I think it's the health factor of DeGrom. Outside of that, I think he is, when he needs to get to 99 on a fastball, I think that's going to be no problem for him. He'll probably live closer to 97. But and that's probably better for him being able to, I don't think you have to touch 99 all the time because you're just going to have another blowout. But you did get the news on Robert Garcia, one of the bullpen guys that they brought in, minor nerve irritation in his forearm, won't throw bullpens for several days. So we're already coming out of the gates with a little bit of a injury question mark there with one of the new bullpen pieces. So it doesn't seem like they're overly concerned about it at this point, but you never know. Now, the funniest one, though, is Anthony Rendon. I mean, when you talk about some of the best moves that your team didn't make,
yeah,
he's got to be right there towards the top of the list for the Rangers. He's getting hip surgery and will be out, quote, a long amount of time, which is exactly what he would prefer. I think he would rather rehab a hip surgery than actually play baseball, because we know just how much he can't stand playing.
Dude, This one went viral yesterday, this post. Anthony Rendon has been paid roughly $168 million by the Angels from 2020 to 2024. He has 224 hits during that time, which means they have paid $750,000 per hit from Anthony Rendon.
Unbelievable.
$750,000 per hit that he got them.
We should see how much we've paid DeGrom for his strikeouts. I bet those numbers are probably through the roof.
You don't have to turn it back to us.
I'm sorry.
We should do it for how much money per dribble you got out of Anthony Davis.
Not very many.
No.
The John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr. stuff, it looks like they're apparently fighting each other at Rough and Rowdy, a Barstool event.
The fight
coming
is
up
on.
In April.
The fight is
so
on.
Was that just a rollout at the Super Bowl? Was this all one big plan?
Dude, I hadn't even thought about that. That would make some sense. Like, if they got them to agree to fight and they're like, hey, let's spice this up a little bit.
I could totally see that being the case.
I don't think you need to spice things up with either of them, though. Like, I think they're, like, I totally believe they had an interaction like that. Because John Rocker being John Rocker and the guy that he is, and Pat Mahomes Sr. being the guy that he is.
This ends with Mahomes Sr. Leaving on a gurney, does it not?
Oh, okay, I was about to say, I thought you were setting that up for this ends with Mahomes Sr. winning for some. I was like, no, he is going to get destroyed. Did you see when he was running around? Did you think Rocker had a little bit of like old man limp to him or something?
Yes, yes.
I don't know how well he moved.
He's a monster. And but
some people have said that about him for like 25 years that he's a monster.
If you're actually Pat Mahomes, though, you're like, my life has changed in 1 week for the worst way. We're about to go for the three-peat. Now all of a sudden, people are saying that the door has been closed on the GOAT conversation. I can never reach Tom Brady. I think that's asinine, but the conversations are happening. And your dad is getting into altercations while in New Orleans.
Do you think he's telling his dad, like, would you stop?
I think he has to.
Like, there's no way he's, like, I would think he's got to tell him, like, don't, like, do not do this, dude. His dad, by the way, former Texas Rangers pitcher, was here in 2001, made 56 appearances. But we were talking about this during the break yesterday. He threw 709 innings for his career, which is a significant amount for a guy who's mainly a reliever. His career ERA was 5.47. Like, he was never a good pitcher and somehow managed to stick around for a decade throwing 700 innings with an ERA over 5. Like, some of his ERAs throughout his career, 5.04, 7.71, 4.73, 6.37, 6.91, 8.10, 5.46, 5.70, 4.84. Well, how did he stay in the league as long as he did?
That's a great question. He was just probably threatening the general managers.
Like, Rocker could at least
pitch.
There was a time where Rocker was good. Like, at least he was good at some point before he started talking to the New York Post or whoever it was.
Okay, so I want to play this sound, though, because speaking of things at the Super Bowl where Rocker and Mahomes Sr. got into their first little spat, you had Bill Simmons was out at the Super Bowl, and listen to him. He bumped into Tyreek Hill and Tyreek Hill's entourage in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and listen to what he says about the flirting with the Cowboys.
We saw Tyreek Hill on Friday. I was trying to get him to come to the Pats. Wasn't happening, but there was a team.
Are you going to tell him what he said afterwards?
What did he say after?
I said, come to the Cowboys. And then he did the eyes thing. Like, I'm looking at you. I said, you may have to be our running back too. He's like, that's all right. I'm ready. So here we go. That is good news for Dallas.
Well, and then somebody that was with them was like, watch out for the Chargers, and walked off. I was like, what do you mean?
Okay.
Hey, I mean, look, everybody does this though. Who was the last big player who was like trying to negotiate their free agency who didn't invoke the name of the Cowboys in the process?
No, it's good for business to do that. But Tyreek Hill making the apology rounds at Radio Row, like, sorry, I didn't mean what I said about wanting to be traded from the Dolphins. I still think that is a very real possibility. The contract stuff is a little bit hazy on how you could actually pull it off, especially if you're the Dolphins, because
it's
you're going to have to eat a lot.
Yeah.
But maybe it just gets it gets so hot with the frustration that they have no choice but to move on from them. I don't know. I don't think that. I mean, the explosive nature of Tyreek Hill and the Cowboys offense would be huge, because outside of Turpin, you don't have that guy.
Or the explosive nature of Tyreek Hill on the Dallas streets.
Yeah, that's true. This is gonna be touch and go for everybody if he ends up here.
It is.
I don't find it very likely, but I love that he's flirting with the idea. He wants to play with Dak. Who wouldn't?
Well, and he's a big fan of CD. And so him playing with across from CD, I'm sure he'd like. But Tyree, like, I mean, you mentioned there about how difficult it is for the Dolphins. Other sports, a lot of times, whenever there's a big deal, you're usually talking about, oh, it's a lot for the other team to take on. Can they financially handle that, like accepting the contract? In the NFL, it's completely reversed, where if you've got a lot of guaranteed money that's already been paid out and it's kind of spread around your books a little bit, like it is with Miami, it gets tougher to actually trade away that guy. That's what really hits your cap hard.
Yeah, so we'll see how that shakes out. But Tyreek Hill on the move, I think, is very much an open possibility. Maybe it ends up being the Chargers and Justin Herbert. They need playmakers at the highest level, but the Cowboys need a lot right now. So you can't really turn down any opportunity for a guy who can actually come and make an impact. All right, coming up next, below the belt. Bob, where are we headed?
We're going to talk about the top draft prospects available. Dane Brugler's top 100 list is out. That's next on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. This is Cynthia Ezeguera. That didn't come out right.
Bravo, Peyton.
That's more work than you've put in all this week. Good for you.
Oh, man.
You've been impressive today, Peyton.
Thank you.
I don't care what anybody says.
Just a troll.
Didn't come out right.
You're such a douchebag. Would the Cowboys survive an offseason of hiring Brian Schottenheimer and drafting a Michigan player at number 12? Let's talk about it here in just a second. First, I got to go off on Saquon Barkley. He's upset me. Saquon Barkley, would you say he is the most likable of all the Philadelphia Eagles?
Sure.
Generally, I don't think anybody's got a bad opinion. He's an Eagle, so nobody likes the Eagles. But in general, it's like, he's kind of a likable guy. He doesn't do anything that's like super douchey.
Devontae Smith, I think.
Yeah, I guess he's just, I personally like Jordan Mailata. Like, I think that he's just kind of a nice guy, and he's got that Aussie accent.
You've always had a thing for those accents.
And he can sing. Yeah, just like our buddy Lori Haresh from ESPN Australia. That's just, it's something about that accent does it for me. But I'm now out on Saquon Barkley. He went on the Howard Stern Show on Sirius XM on Wednesday.
Did it get buck wild?
Oh, it got pretty disgusting pretty quickly. He was asked about Taylor Swift being shown on the Jumbotron. He said, I remember that they showed her on the Jumbotron and she got booed. I don't get it. I don't get why she was getting hate there. He says, she was there supporting her significant other and she's made the game bigger. In football, we're all about how can we expand the game and make it more international. We're traveling to Brazil. We're traveling to Mexico. Apparently, we're traveling to Australia soon. We're trying to expand the game and her being part of it is only helping it. I don't get the dislike she's getting. Okay, bro, first off, you are on a team that booed and threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Like, that's your team.
Right.
They're going to boo Taylor Swift on the Jumbotron. Okay, that's one. Two, she's awful. She's terrible. Her music is awful. She's uninteresting. And so I'm now out on Saquon Barkley. For not just, like, he could have just let it lie, but he decided to tackle the subject head on and be a big-time Swiftie. And I'm against it. Where do you fall down on the Taylor Swift music, by the way?
I don't listen to it.
It doesn't even register for you?
No.
Have you ever heard it and gone like, it's not bad?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of those. Teardrops on My Guitar or whatever.
I just think she is
it's like her first one.
She is the Saltine of music. That's what she is. She's just
there.
Bland. Just bland. And people are like, she's a genius. It's like, it's a Saltine. It's not that genius. Just relax, okay? Okay. Over at ESPN, they have a new mock draft out. And I know Will Chambers is already listening. Big-time Chicago Bears fan, Will Chambers, who I got in a big fight with over Shedeur Sanders. Him saying, Shedeur Sanders has been the number one pick for 2 years. And he's going to be the number one pick. And I said, he's not been the number one pick for 2 years. And he said, yeah, and he's going to go there. Well, as it stands now, all the mock drafts are siding with me, Will. There's a new one out from Field Yates over at ESPN. Tell me how much you think the fan base would melt down with this scenario for the Dallas Cowboys. So, first pick, the Tennessee Titans select Travis Hunter from Colorado. Most people right now are throwing them Abdul Carter or Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami. Abdul Carter, obviously the edge rusher from Penn State. Not Field Yates. He says that he thinks that they're going to look at this and say, we want the best player in the draft, and that'll be Travis Hunter. Number two, Cleveland Browns select Abdul Carter. Edge rusher, Penn State, somebody to replace Myles Garrett. Makes sense. Giants get their pick of the quarterbacks, and they go with
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. Yep, that's correct. And there's been a little, you remember there's that whole Shedeur Sanders public flirtation with the Giants there for a little bit when it looked like they were going to get the number one pick. Like at first it was Raiders heavy. Then when it looked like it was going to be the Giants, he was flirting heavy with the Giants. That has seem to cool significantly. I think they are getting the sense that the Giants may like Cam Ward more.
That's interesting because I do know that the Giants had been around the Colorado practices a ton.
Yeah.
Trying to soak in as much Shadur as possible. And then during the Heisman stuff, wasn't he in the streets of New York throwing to Malik Nabers?
Yep.
So they were trying to sort of will it into existence.
Speaking of Will, the number four overall pick, Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU, goes to the Patriots. Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan, goes to the Jaguars. Number six, finally, Shedeur Sanders goes off the board in this mock draft to the Las Vegas Raiders. Then you go down the list a little bit. There's some Georgia players that go back-to-back. This one would hurt. Number nine, Tetaroa McMillan, receiver from Arizona, goes to the Saints. That would be a guy that if he could miraculously fall to the Cowboys, I think they'd be all over.
Big body dude. Good compliment to CD.
Dude, like a better version of what Drake London is. Like really, really good and could be a really good possession receiver for you. I think Kellen Moore would have a lot of success with him. Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle from Texas, goes to Will Chambers Bears. Then it's the San Francisco 49ers selecting Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State. So at 12, you've got Ashton Jeanty there. The Boise State running back, the guy who Frisco product, somebody who's publicly lobbying for the Cowboys, somebody who, if you want to talk about immediate difference maker, an impact player, he is that. Like, you need an offensive line, obviously, but if you want to talk about somebody who can do a lot to even cancel out some of the issues with the offensive line, Jeanty's a guy with great contact balance, great vision, is able to get small and fit through tight areas. We're talking about a guy who stays on his feet in tight locations, ever gets to the second level really quickly, has burst. Like, he is pretty much a perfect prospect, a really good pass protector. As a running back, he is right at the top as a perfect prospect to me. I think he's great.
Yeah, I think the only thing you would say is to make him perfect, a little bit more home run speed.
A little.
And he had huge chunk runs, but sometimes you'll see him get chased down a little bit. Obviously, that's being nitpicky. He's next level nasty in just about every single way, three down player. I get it. And now with the Cowboys' newfound dedication to having a respectable rushing attack with the concepts and whatnot, bringing in Clayton Adams and the K-State offensive line coach and stuff like that, I do think you could get much more out of Ashton Jeanty now than I thought you could have maybe a month ago.
Yeah, because you have famously, you and Brian said all sorts of disgusting things about each other's families.
We did.
Yeah, just got personal. Had a really, really bad argument over Ashton Jeanty, but you're also at 12, it's a different question than 5, right? And in this draft class specifically.
Yes, it's a little bit of a different question. I still think it's ultimately the same thing. If you tell me I can take Jeanty at 12 or I could trade out of it, I know you need a dance partner with that. I'd rather trade out of it and get a more premium position in the first round and get more picks for a team in the Cowboys that have a ton of holes. So I would still rather do that. And I'm sure even staying at 12, there's a player that the trenches is what I'm all about now. I mean, the defensive line, the offensive line, that is just so vital. You have to have it. And the Cowboys don't have enough of it right now.
My comp, obviously, he's had a bit of a fall off. But if I told you that at his peak, he's going to be peak Jonathan Taylor, you'd be down for that, right?
Not at 12.
Really?
Yeah.
Knowing that you're not paying him, you're talking about paying him less than you would pay somebody who's at the top of the running back market. You could be getting top running back output and not paying top of the market running back value.
I still think you're paying much more at the running back position than you would need to. The 12th pick in the first round is making more money than what you could get some veteran running backs on the cheap. Like, you're still overpaying for a running back.
That's
there.
Okay. You haven't lived this before.
That's true. I've never done this.
Has told us. You haven't done this before.
I heard Dane Brugler say if Dallas doesn't take Jeanty at 12, it's hard to see him going inside the top 20.
Yeah, I could see him slide just out of. But I mean, like, we've also done this in the past. Like, oh, if Bijan, where's Bijan going to fall? Like, I mean, who's going to take him in the top 20? And somebody takes him at 8. We're like, where's Gibbs going to go? And then Gibbs goes 12.
Yeah.
Like, and the running game has made a bit of a comeback in the NFL this year. And I do think that Jeanty, if you're telling me, like, you are going to get a really legitimate superstar at the running back position, I think it's interesting. They don't go with him. We'll get into Dane Brugler's top 100 a little bit tomorrow because we're running out of time here. But I will tell you really quickly, the pick that they make is Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan. And I know this pick would probably have Brian losing his mind. He wouldn't be excited about this one. They say, though going with an offensive lineman was strongly considered here, Johnson would help fortify a Cowboys cornerback room that has plenty of questions this offseason. Trayvon Diggs is recovering from a knee injury that required surgery. Deron Bland has only 1 year left on his contract. And Jordan Lewis, another former Michigan corner, will be a free agent in March. There are some of the scouting world who see a healthy Johnson as one of the highest upside players in the class. Elite size 6'2 with ball skills. He has 9 career interceptions. Even if the Cowboys are concerned with his speed, it won't be an issue in new coordinator Matt Eberflus's zone heavy scheme.
Well, I don't know too much about the player, but I love the position. That's a premium position, and it's a giant need for the Cowboys. You just painted the picture there. It's slim pickings in the secondary for the Cowboys right now. So I think taking a corner, I've watched more of Jahdae Barron from Texas, and I love him. I know he's not a consensus top 20 player or whatever, but like you said,
that might be a bit early.
I've only seen him. I haven't really seen Will Johnson, but the idea of taking a corner at 12 makes a ton of sense to me. So I'd be here for it. All right, there it is. Below the Belt here on a Thursday. Great to have you in the morning show. Sean and RJ back next week. We have a college football kegger featuring Arch Manning. No more field storming. And another NFL man takes on college football. That's next right here on The Fan. But
college holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.